Well, I'm using Kylie Minogue to introduce Stephen Fenwick. Why the hell? Well, let's get Stephen up first. He's our IT and gadget guru, and he's got a terrific website, techguide.com.au, and he's on the line. Stephen Fenwick, good morning.
Good morning, Richard. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Stephen, and yourself?
I'm going well, mate.
Look, Riley and I were talking this morning when we were trying to find the audio of Kylie Minogue, that I think the first tickets are available from her.
Yep.
Tour that will be happening early next year here in Australia. There's an album coming out too next month, but yep. She was actually talking about Daniel Ricciardo, who seems like he's on the outer as far as Formula One driving goes. And
yep.
There was this audio of Kylie saying, "You know my love for Danny is ever pure and strong," and we were trying to find that. And then Riley said, "No, it's popped up. This video is unavailable in your country."
Yeah,
and it was a block on. Having a look at this particular video. What is that all about?
That's common. That's common for... It was probably from like a TV network. So that's the...
Yeah, it was Sky Sports.
There you go. So that's kind of their content that is only viewable in the region where people are, their subscribers are located. So it's like, for example, if I was in, and this has happened to me, when I was in Europe trying to watch South play on the 9 Now app, it said, "Sorry, you're out of the country. You can't watch it." These are restrictions, content restrictions. But that's being a news item. I don't know. Could be that reason. But it's not uncommon. You know, a lot of American websites where, say NBC, CBS, or their websites, you can't just rock up and stream off their websites, especially TV shows. And movies and things, because there's that content protection, region locked protection as well.
Right.
So that's probably the reason why you couldn't get it, mate. I think best place to look for that kind of content, if you can't get it through this website, is on their social media.
Yeah. No, we haven't been able to find it yet, but not to worry. Right. Okay, the new iPhone, the iPhone 16, it was released last Friday. You've no doubt had a good look and a good play with it now, Stephen.
Yeah. Published my review on Tech Guide yesterday. I think this is a worthy upgrade. This is probably, you know, every year they have like an incremental upgrade that's just a little bit of an improvement. This year, two big things they've done. Number one, well, this is built for Apple Intelligence, their AI. Thing is, though, at launch, which is now, it's not ready yet. It's not going to be ready for Australia till December. So anyone who's buying the iPhone 16 and the 16 Pro will be able to access Apple Intelligence. Also, if you own a 15 Pro and a 15 Pro Max from last year, they will support Apple Intelligence as well. So if you want Apple Intelligence, you don't need to upgrade. Anyone else with an older, with a 15 and a 15 Plus that was bought a year ago, that's not going to support Apple Intelligence, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
So this is built, the 16s, all the models of the 16s can handle Apple Intelligence, but that's a story for another day when it's available. What they've done, Apple have really improved the camera. The camera had, there's a totally new button on the phone called Camera Control. So it literally puts all the features of the camera at your fingertips. So you press it to wake the camera up. You can press it to take a photo, press and hold to shoot a video. You slide your finger up and down this little tactile switch, this little touch-sensitive switch, and you can access zoom, exposure, all your different photo styles and everything as well right from that little button. So the iPhone, according to Apple, is the more photos are taken with an iPhone than any other device in the world.
Wow.
So it's smart of them to lean into this feature that people, that's one of the features they value. They don't buy iPhones because they make good phone calls and send good text messages. It's because they take good photos. And this year, they've really upped the ante with a new 48-megapixel fusion camera. So even on the 16, you're getting 48 megapixel quad pixel, made of quad pixels, so you are getting high resolution. There's now macro photography thanks to the adjustment to the autofocus. On the Pro models, you've also got that 48 megapixel fusion cameras, but you've got a whole extra lens, the ultra wide telephoto lenses, so you can shoot at 24, 28, 35 millimeter like a proper photographer.
Wow.
And you can shoot 4K video at 120 frames a second on the Pro. So there are features on the Pro. You can even shoot prologue, like professional quality shoots, and you can attach an external SSD drive to capture the video on the external drive, because that does take up a lot of memory.
Wow.
Now, in fact, if you look at the musician The Weeknd, his latest music video was shot with the iPhone 16 Pro, would you believe?
So well,
that's the quality that they're getting.
I think a couple of films have been made entirely on an iPhone.
Plenty of things. In the last couple of years, any Apple keynote, anything you see from Apple is all shot on iPhone as well. So they have their big long keynotes and all these things they film. All shot on iPhones. So
well,
it just goes to show how far they've come.
Well, modern journalism can be done now simply with an iPhone. You can record voice, you can shoot film,
absolutely,
and you can send it anywhere you like. Yeah.
Well, the 16 Pro has studio, like audio mix, like pro level audio as well. So you can actually isolate the person on the screen for just hear their voice and block out everyone else.
Wow!
You can do what they call a cinematic mix as well. So it's if you're a filmmaker. This is enough for you to make a film. And so a lot of people ask, which one should I get, the 16 or the 16 Pro? I always say, if you're really into your photography and filming and various creating content, the Pro is the phone for you. If you're just an average user who likes to take the odd photo, the 16 is more than enough. So because they are the 16, they start at $13.99 and the Pro start at $18.99, so there is a bit of a price difference.
They're available now, iPhone 16?
They went on sale last Friday. They went on sale on the 20th, and they're they're cheaper than last year. The 16 range is $100 cheaper than the 15s. The 16 Pro range is $50 cheaper than the 15 Pro range. So that's a really good move. Good to see that we're getting stuff, actually a better product at a cheaper price.
All righty. Talking about this last week, Instagram, they've introduced these new restrictions and protections with Instagram teen accounts designed to keep young users safe and offer parents peace of mind. How's this going to work, Stephen?
Yeah, well, what happens if you're a teenager on Instagram right now? So when you created your account, okay, you can't be younger than 13 to create an Instagram account. So you put your age in there. And Instagram's really smart, right? They've got algorithms to know that if you're 13 pretending to be 18, it'll know. So it's an honor system at the moment. So anyone who's a teenager has been automatically placed into a private account. So which means that restricts not only what they can see, but how long they can use the app as well. So the obvious restrictions, you know, sex and violence, but also restrictions on cosmetic content, like cosmetic surgery and all these beauty content that could make a young person feel, well, their self-image might take a hit. This is one of the reasons why the government is wanting to ban social media for young teenagers, because that is the issue. Their self-image and their suicidal thoughts and all these things that could become as an effect of looking at social media. What Instagram's done here is restricted that content, so basically given teenagers an on-ramp to social media rather than the government's move, I think, they're going to say, well, no, you can't have social media till you're this age. What that age is, we don't know. But suddenly you go from having no social media to having social media. That's going to be a big thing for teenagers, or maybe a lot too much to handle. What Instagram's doing is giving the teen account those restrictions, so no one can contact you if you're not friends. So all those protections, but giving you a little, like an on-ramp to social media rather than just sort of hitting you with everything. You're getting the stuff that's suitable for you and your age.
Okay, all right, a move in the right direction. Now, I've had a lot of feedback on electric vehicles today, a number of people saying, you know, the price has dropped to billy-o, and I said, yeah, well, competition's got a bit to do with that, and I've had a couple of emails from people saying, no, it's the drop in demand, but I think competition's had quite a bit to do with it. I mean, you know, when Tesla first arrived, they didn't really have much competition in Australia, did they?
No, not at all. No, Tesla, and I bought a Tesla back in 2018, and there was one other or two other brands that had EVs, and they were just ridiculously expensive as well. Yeah. You're right, it is the competition. Demand hasn't dropped, mate. Demand is still steady. There's still a lot of people buying EVs, and the sheer number of other brands now, like, you know, you got MG and Fiat and Tesla and Mercedes, all the companies now have an electric car.
Yeah.
And now there's a lot of price competition, because, you know, BYD is making a lot of inroads here because they're offering really good value for their cars. They're competing at all levels, from the entry level to the mid-range, and now they're going to have a more expensive car. So they're really taking on the Teslas and the other brands. Yeah. So demand is still there, mate. I see the stock, and I do a weekly podcast, me and Trevor Long. We do our Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars as right. a companion to our Two Blokes Talking Tech podcast. And let me tell you, demand for EVs is just as high as ever.
And Tesla have opened their, I believe, 100th supercharger site in Australia, Stephen?
That's correct, yeah. They've opened it in Glenelg in South Australia. So this is like 10 years down the track since they opened the first one. Tesla really blazed the trail here by putting these superchargers in all around, not just metro areas, but also on highways. So they've made long-distance EV travel a reality. And now, a year ago, they opened up their Tesla superchargers to non-Tesla vehicles. So even if you don't drive a Tesla, you are able, at most of their superchargers, able to use their charger as well.
So what makes a charger a supercharger?
Just the power output. So there's usually, at charging at home, you normally have like 11 kilowatts, which might take 4 hours to charge your car. But the Tesla superchargers have up to 150 kilowatts and higher, so it takes 15 minutes to charge your car.
Right.
So the faster output, and that's why it's called a supercharger, because it has that much higher output.
We were talking about AI, and well, certainly the new iPhone 16 is full of AI.
Yep.
They popped up on my release radar on Spotify. I don't know whether you've discovered Obscurest Vinyl.
Well,
have a Google on YouTube. There's a million of them. There's a heap of them that have suddenly popped up in the last six or seven weeks. You know, purportedly rare soul recording or rare 40s country song. And the general consensus is they're all AI generated. Some of them are extremely extremely rude. But very funny. Have a look. I'd be interested
to know.
Check
it out.
Yeah, Obscurest Vinyl is a heap of them.
Okay.
They're a bit naughty, though. All right, good to talk to you, mate.
Thanks a lot, Richard. All the best, mate.
Yeah, you too. We'll catch up next Tuesday. Stephen Fenwick, our IT and gadget guru, his website, the great review on the iPhone 16 is techguide.com.au.